So then you come into your first term, 3 months into the first term, April 19th, 1995, the Oklahoma City bombing. We talk about this, noting the act of terrorism in Boston, April 15th, 2013. Last Monday, runners and bystanders were killed and maimed by two explosives. It was Patriots Day, big celebration in Boston, three killed and hundreds injured. The terrorists were two brothers from Chechnya. So, as you reflect now, it has been 18 years since the bombing of the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. The details have been well chronicled, so we'll not get into that. But how were you first alerted? When did you first know of that bombing?
I went to the prayer breakfast, the mayor's prayer breakfast in Oklahoma City, and then came back to the office. The governor's office has bulletproof glass in those windows. All of a sudden, there was a concussion. You could feel something had happened. So my reaction, an explosion had occurred. My immediate reaction was maybe an ammunition dump had blown up a tanker or a plane had crashed or something. But clearly, there was maybe an energy explosion. There was something. We went and turned on television, and there was a news helicopter over the Murrah Building blasted in half, literally. The initial report was there was a natural gas explosion in the federal courthouse. I said, that's not the federal courthouse. That's a federal office building filled with people. And that's no natural gas explosion. Somebody blew that up. I mean, natural gas? How do you have that much volume in that space to just completely disintegrate a building? So I knew we had a terrible tragedy, and it was.
So what was your first action?
It's really interesting, of course, to contrast the New Orleans experience with the hurricane. Their first responders are in the basement of a building. What? You're 25 feet under sea level. Why would you ever have anybody in a basement of anything? In our case, because of tornadoes, we are underground, which is where we should be. So in the Capitol complex, there is an emergency management center. I remember I went over there and President Clinton called me and he said, what in the world has gone on? I said, I have no idea. I haven't been down there yet, but apparently somebody blew up the federal office building. It's full of people. I'm sure it's a horrible situation. I haven't been down there yet. And he said, well, what do you need? And I'd been briefed by Steve Courtright, who was my adjutant general, a Democrat, by the way, blue suit. That was considered high treason to choose a Democrat blue suit. It should be a Republican green suit. Steve had briefed me about what we do in the case of a tornado, earthquake, or whatever. So I knew about the FEMA urban search and rescue teams. And I said, Oklahoma City has about 1,000 firefighters, and we're going to probably need a lot of help here. And he said, I'll take care of it. He was really very authoritative and the like. Then I went down to the scene. Interestingly, I don't know if it were a drivetrain. I'm not knowledgeable about parts of automobiles, but I know that there are confidential VIN numbers on cars. In other words, you have a VIN number, let's say, in your windshield, the number of the car, the factory identification number. But there's also a confidential one on part of the car. And here was this big piece of metal with a number on it. I said, look at that. Somebody had spray painted around it. And I said, there's a number. We'll get who's responsible. And of course, mercifully, we did very quickly. But it was awful.
Your background in law enforcement and all, as you had to move real quickly in your association with justice, it really helped you, I suppose.
Well, see, for me, it gave me a sense of comfort that I could concentrate on rescue and recovery, families, the public image, assurance, because I wasn't worried about the law enforcement piece. I knew FBI being in charge of the case. I knew Gary Morris as the fire chief was first rate. The police chief was first rate. Federal family was great. The next morning, I was down there. Katie and I went down. It was cold and rainy. A front had come through. I could see they had all these big spotlights on the building. There were firefighters coming up the street that apparently had finished their shifts. And this, I don't think, has ever been publicly said, but this guy was not an Oklahoma City firefighter. He had a different color outfit. And so I stepped out on him. I said, thank you for being here. He said, who are you? And I said, I'm the governor of Oklahoma. And I thought, you know, if I said, I'm the governor, they say, oh, thank you. Nice to meet you, governor. Keep going. And he didn't. He stopped and he took his finger, stuck at my chest. And he said, well, you find out who did this, because the only thing I pulled from that building were a child's finger and an American flag. Well, my reaction was, these guys are all completely freaked out. Remember, 9/11 years later, it was all black powder. You know, everybody was incinerated unless you jumped off the building. So the rescue workers and firefighters didn't have an opportunity to really see people close up and personal. I figured I was going to be there. Thank you. You know, hot coffee, a meal. I know one guy, God, he said, it's like a Hilton hotel. He said, you know, we have the best food anywhere we go. It's free. The restaurants, they won't accept payment. This one New York firefighter said, hell, in New York, we had to pay $5 for a sack of ice. We had to pay for everything. But here, God, everything's free. It's amazing. This is an amazing place. And he said, the only thing missing are a red rose on every pillow. And the next night, we had red roses on every pillow. That was Kathy's deal. So people couldn't believe. That's the Oklahoma standard. By the way, after Newtown, I did a Skype conversation with all the Newtown folks about Oklahoma City. Should we give away the money that's coming in? What do we do with it? I said, don't do that. Don't divide it up, because you have some people who are going to be in real trouble. Bailey Allman, the little baby that was dead in Chris Field's arms.
Famous picture.
Famous picture. What you don't see is the guy that handed Bailey to Chris, the Oklahoma City police officer, who later killed himself. You don't get over this easily. Years later, I remember I was out at the site, and an ATF guy came over to me and had a knife in his hand. He was trying to cut his shield. You need to have this. You need to have this. And, you know, he's just freaked out. And I said, hey, you're going to hurt yourself. Everything's going to be fine. You need a rest. Take a rest. Have a meal. Get a cup of coffee or something. Because you'd see all this, you know, all these people. But anyway, there were these slabs of concrete, and there was a leg sticking out. And it was a Marine officer's leg, blue with a red stripe and a polished shoe. And then Marines came. You know, Secret Service took their people. It was really quite beautiful the way they did it. But here, this guy was just mashed between that concrete. Well, I never thought about that. Years later, I mean, 4 years ago, I don't go to the museum memorial. I just don't, you know. And we had some friends. Kathy's on the board of the National Cabell Hall and Western Heritage Museum. So I was asked by a couple that were our guests to go to the memorial in the museum. So I thought, well, I'll go. I'd been there, obviously, before, but not really in any detail. So we went through the thing, and at the end, there are all those photographs and little mementos of each person. Well, I turned around, and this picture caught my eye. Young Latino Marine captain, 28 years old. That was the leg. And I just broke down crying. I just sat there just sobbing, and the people with me, what is the matter? What is the matter with you? And I said, that's the guy. They said, what guy? And I said, that's the Marine leg. But that's battle fatigue. You know, you don't realize it, but that's what it is. Yeah. I bet that was 15 years after the bombing that I had never thought of that Marine until I saw his picture.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
True story.
I know you've been asked about Boston now and the correlations here, and there are some similarities, I suppose, to what Boston is going to go through and what Oklahoma City has gone through.
Right.
What are you saying?
Well, I made a comment on MSNBC Thursday in the Chris Jansing show. I said, the challenge here is the horror that people saw. You know, an 8-year-old boy dead, or a little girl with a severed leg, and a bunch of them like that. People think these law enforcement guys are hard and these first responders. They're not. And the counseling needed for them is going to be long term. They'll go back to work and they have their families, but some are going to start hitting the bottle. Think of the guys who went into Newtown. That's the problem. There are going to be a number of suicides out of that. You can't go to bed and just not see those images. Kind of like me with that Marine captain. What? I mean, I just couldn't believe it. It was uncontrollable. Any event, I didn't tell that story to Chris, but I said, and you got a Chinese girl, you got people from all over the United States. So you're going to have to put together an organization, you know, the Boston Marathon Memorial Fund or Institute or whatever, not some bureaucracy, but to say, how is everybody doing? And follow on to make sure that everybody's okay. And you got to realize it's a free society, and you better make sure that you don't make everything an armed camp. But, you know, obviously you're going to have dogs right in front of everybody, you know, to smell and stuff. It's just too bad, but it's life. They had dogs, by the way, but they had them out, checked everything out, and then these guys came in after the fact. So,
those who committed suicide, and you say there might be others, is that because they just can't get those images out of their mind? Is that what drives them to that?
I think it's partially that. And it's also, how come we couldn't stop this? How come I'm still here and they're not? Like down in West, Texas, those firefighters who were killed, the other guys that survived will say, how come I got spared? How come that guy has two little kids and, hell, mine are graduated from college or, you know, adults? What the hell? This isn't fair. People's minds are tricky.